Social media allows us to market to people we would have never usually met, people all around the country, even all around the world. But what about local marketing for small businesses, the mums and dads, the local services who just want to get more clients, more inquiries, and more leads in their local area? What's the difference between marketing to a huge broad audience and a small local audience? Well, Kieran McKerney, my guest today from KMAT Digital, is going to help us to understand exactly that. After running his own electrical business for a couple of decades, Kieran is now here to help us understand how marketing for these businesses is slightly different than marketing for coaches. Is Google better? Is SEO better? Is Facebook better? What are the pros and cons of each? And how the heck do you run a business while managing a brick and mortar tradie business, a digital business, and three kids at the same time? Can it be done? Well, Kieran's doing it, and he's here today to show us how. He's also a very lovely guy. He also has an interesting taste in music you might not expect. So let's listen to him today. Here he is, Mr. Kieran McKerney on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Digging into our small talk today, me and a man I like very much, at least on a superficial level, but let's see what happens when we talk for 45 minutes a day, Mr. Kieran McKerney out of the Gold Coast, founder of KMAC Digital, a man I've known for a couple of years, but we've never really dug into it. And I'm really excited to see how his style of living digital marketing, waking up at 4:30 in the morning, compares to what I'm used to. And we're going to do that today. So Mr. Kieran, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Good, mate. Appreciate you having me on. Excited.
Dude, I'm excited too. I'm excited. Like we met in like a marketing mastermind, basically. We've got the same mentor, Mr. Scott Weddell.
The legend.
And we see each other in these like 5-minute snippets once every couple of weeks, where we just kind of jump in the end of each other's coaching sessions. But we've never really caught up too much. How's life and business, mate? All good?
Can't complain. It's good. It's growing. Life's good. Kids are growing. When you have kids, life just merges. Days merge into weeks, and you just move on.
Days go long, years are short, is what I was, the phrase I need to remember, because like the last two nights, my wife was out for a work meeting on Tuesday night, and then she was out for like a concert last night. And so I had a couple of real, just like Tuesday, I finished work in a really frustrated mood, and then I went straight into like 3 hours of parenting, and the girls were in a bad mood. It was just a really rough night. And then I committed to having a better night yesterday, and I just went in with a much better attitude. I've stayed the heck away from work while I was parenting, because it's so easy when it's in your pocket, right, to be have a half an eye on both. And we had the best night ever, and it was so much more fun, and I was so much more relaxed than everyone was. And yeah, it's just like, I don't know, you got three kids, right?
Yeah, three boys.
Three boys, my word. Three boys. What are the ages of your boys?
Almost 10 and 7 and 4.
Were your kids a factor in you transitioning away from running a sort of a brick and mortar tradie business to digital?
Look, a part of it. The lifestyle is definitely a part of it, yes. Yeah. And yeah, and being there at such a young age and being able to have the flexibility and be there for them, I think is, yeah, have a solid father figure in their life is pretty important.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's awesome. And it's really cool that like with the breadth of opportunity on the internet these days, you can have both. Like back in the day, my dad had businesses and he was just working all the time. And we did, you know, we definitely saw him a lot on holidays and stuff. But like the more, his only option to like create success was just by going to work more, basically. And he couldn't do it from home because he had a shop, you know. So it's really, really cool, man, that we're managing to do this. And one thing before we get into like marketing and stuff, one thing I love about what you do is you and your family, you kind of go off grid once a month or so. Is that right?
Yeah, so definitely try to. We bought a van last year, and that's, look, we have been a bit slack this year. Last year, every month we went away.
Yep.
It's to kind of wind down and turn off. But you what you said before, you need, it's very easy to pick up the phone and do something, talk to the client, and you think you're having that, you know, that flexible lifestyle. But if you merge the two of them, it doesn't work. You get short, fixed. Yeah. You don't have a very good time. So you still need to disconnect, even though usually you work from home.
Well, you do both jobs poorly when you're trying to parent. And, you know, and this is, I saw this when I remember they shut down, basically during like lockdowns, parents, there were like heaps of articles from parents being like, with my kids not allowed to go to school, I'm being a shitty employee, a shitty mum, and a shitty wife all at the same time, that sort of thing, because I cannot do all three at once.
No.
But that's what I'm having to try and do. And it's like my kids were babies at that point, but really trying to, you know, set those boundaries. And I saw another little tweet the other day that was like, in 20 years' time, the only people who remember that you worked late will be your kids. Ooh. It's not going to be your boss or your clients or anything. They'll be doing, I know, right? Yeah, Ryan, the feel bads. And so, it got me, man. I was like, that is so, so damn true. So I'm just doing my very, very best. And today I'm going to work like a beast, meetings back to back. So that like 4:30 p.m. today, they get home from kindy, I'm in. And I know I've done my stuff. What's your schedule like now, mate? Because you're transitioning out of running a service-based business yourself into a digital business.
Yep.
Firstly, how's that transition been for you, and how's it continuing to move for you?
Yeah, look, it has its ups and downs. It's been quite difficult because, you know, you're trying to keep clients on both businesses happy. And although I've got a team running, doing the work for the service-based business, you know, there is still stuff to do. But I think it's just setting clear deadlines. So, you know, Thursday, Friday, for instance, you do this. You know, Monday, Tuesday, you do this and you stick to it. You don't let anyone tell you what to do. just move forward, because there's so much to do. And then when you throw family in a mix as well, it gets hard. But moving forward, it's getting better. I spend more time doing digital now, which is good, because obviously that's where I want to transition full time. And yeah, we'll just keep moving forward.
And did you start, because you, for context for the listeners, you ran continue to run an electrical business, and now you are doing digital marketing for service-based businesses. Was there like a gap or a problem that you saw in your own business that led you to focus on digital marketing and, you know, a more effective way of advertising for tradies, et cetera?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. Just being pretty much not ranking on Google, and relying too much on like two particular businesses. So, you know, as electricians, plumbers, you know, they always rely on, if they're not doing B2C work, they're doing B2B work, and they might have one or two builders. So, you know, I made this mistake back in the day, is you put all your eggs in one or two baskets, and when something happens, a big portion of your revenue disappears. So to branch out, you know, you need those B2C clients, you need to have a good network, and you can actually grow a business and not be reliant on how they're growing their business.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, is it? Because people take on, in service-based, in digital marketing as well, you take on big clients, and it's like, yes, I got it. That's my, you know, that's my staff bill for the month. Or even back, like, you know, when I was small, like just marketing for a few people, losing one client, you know, could be like a third of your income.
Yeah.
And if you've been resting and not focusing on building that pipeline, is having those more relationships and maybe pushing your capacity a little bit, you can get really knocked out. It happened to me in January, bro. Like I had four or five clients take like a Christmas break, which was fine, because I kind of took one as well. But then like January, February, a few of them were like, oh, I'm going to take a holiday, or like, oh, my kids are still home from school, I'm going to take another month off. And suddenly I was down like 40% for those months. And it was like, oh, goodness me, I thought I was doing well. So it led me to, get on the hustle train a little bit more. Yeah. Which is,
yeah, it's interesting. That's sort of the big thing. And one of the things is kind of systems and, you know, better ways, more efficient ways to nurture lead flow and how to nurture your existing customers as well. A lot of tradies do a job and be done with it, but they don't realize how much extra revenue you can generate from your existing list. So that's where that's what we teach and help other tradies do.
That is interesting as well. Yeah, because I suppose like you have an electrician on your books, you know, you got the guy you call if anything goes wrong, but if nothing's going wrong, then you don't need him. He's come to fix the fan and then you don't call him for another year and a half. And it's like, hey, Seamus, what's going down, brother? Seamus is the guy that we call. all right, sweet. So let's talk about that. Let's reverse back to, you mentioned ranking on Google, because I always have clients, because this is a podcast for coaches, that sort of thing. So generally people who work, you know, nationwide or can work remotely, for people anywhere. You work with service-based who are generally more local businesses, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Local SEO is a big portion of their revenue. Yep.
And they're Yeah. So I often have clients be like, what do you think of doing Google Ads and SEO? And I explain to them, like, in the coaching space, you've got to have people, as the way I understand it, to make Google and SEO worthwhile, you've got to have people searching life coach.
Yep.
That sort of thing. Health coach, spiritual marketing coach, like, things that most people aren't really solution seeking in that area.
Yeah.
But the service based, it's a very different market. Like, people are aware of a problem and looking for a solution. So is that why you feel that SEO and Google is such a big portion of marketing in your space?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's, you know, when they've got a problem, they have a transactional intent to find use their transactional intent keyword to find, to solve that problem. And this is why SEO for service businesses is so important. So I wouldn't say SEO is not important for coaches, but you would have to do a lot of research into find those keywords and is it worth ranking for those keywords based on search volume. So it's something that I haven't looked into, but it's easy bit of research in the back end before you commit to it.
Can you give us a real 12-year-old's version of what SEO and Google Ads, how they work and what it means for a business?
Yeah. So, we'll start with local SEO, pretty much. Local SEO is a Google My Business listing. It's like a listing in your area, and anyone that searches, let's say you search for electricians near me, that's a keyword with a certain search volume per month, and then you rank for that keyword, and then if someone's in your vicinity, you'll show as a local service-based business, and then you'll rank, and they'll give you a call based on that. But it all comes down to keyword research. So you have to rank for certain keywords based on search volume per month. And this is where your SEO as a whole is. So it comes down to, you know, keyword rich, you know, content. And then obviously, a lot of, well, backlinking. This is going to start to get technical. This is not really 12-year-old, there's many avenues and pretty much the 12-year-old, three ways, really good content.
Yeah.
Optimize your headlines and your title tags with the keywords, all based on your keyword research. And then just utilize free tools that Google provides to determine where your website is already, what keywords you're ranking for already, and then double down on those. And then obviously expand off that.
That's, yeah.
Cheers.
All right. So ranking for keywords, basically, like, a keyword is like electrician, you know, and then Broad Beach, right?
Yeah.
So if someone's searching, electrician Gold Coast or electrician near me, what you want to make sure you have on your website is not just the broad stuff. You want to have the specific suburbs you operate in. You want to have the specific services you offer. So if someone says, fix my fan, you know, service paradise. And on your website, you know that people search for broken fan all the time and they also search for service paradise. You will therefore rank higher than the next guy who just says general electrical services. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And that's why it comes down to the copy, the content on your website with those keywords throughout your website. Yeah. And it's particular to certain pages too. So, you know, this is why it's very important to have a good website with multiple pages, consistent content updates, consistent blogs, and then you'll rank. If someone searches that keyword, it won't necessarily go to your homepage. It might go to your blog page or vice versa.
This is the thing, because people think blogging is dead, right? They think it's like very 2008, but it's just not used in the same way. It's not like you build a following of people reading your blog. It's that
you definitely can.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can. Yeah. I don't know. Can you? Do people?
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely. You can do both. Google would rather you do both. Google wants the best experience for their end user. So if you have a blog, which will part of our SEO strategy is 2 blogs a month, but you have to write. They can't just be keyword rich blogs and just a bunch of these keywords in here. It's not really exciting to read. You know, so you actually probably de-rank yourself by doing that. So you do have to have a good user engagement with your blog, but then still strategically write it as well.
Interesting. Yeah. And so I guess that must be a funny objection that you get from a lot of old dog bricklayers. When you say you need a blog, mate, they're like, come on, Kieran, what am I going to write a blog about?
Yes, there's a lot of education that goes into some of the older tradies, but that's all right.
Well, education is a very important part of marketing, right?
Yeah.
That teaches me why they need your product. It's because you've got to show them there's a problem that they don't know about yet.
Yeah.
That's mad. Okay, so local business. And are you running any, you do Facebook ads as well?
Yeah. We still do Facebook ads. Look, we don't purely do Facebook ads. Like, we've got a builder. We don't just do Facebook ads. We'll do focus on SEO for a long term strategy. But Facebook ads are still relatively cheap compared to Google ads. So we do a lot of testing offers on and just normal branding on Facebook.
Yeah, right. And so what are you seeing as the, because we do basically just Facebook and Instagram. I know what Google ads are about, but as we talked about, I don't think it's as relevant for my clients as for yours. What do you see as the sort of pros and cons of Facebook versus Google, vice versa?
Google, you'll get a higher quality lead because they're searching like for intent. They actually want something, but it'll cost more. And it's based on a CPC, so cost per click, and sometimes that is expensive, but dependent on the keyword that you want to rank for. So electricians near me is about $9 a click. So one of the downfalls is you could get a lot of bots clicking and wasting your budget.
Wow.
So there's tools to stop that. In the end, you'll get a high quality lead, but you'll spend more money to get it. Facebook, you'll get, if you've got a good offer, let's say for aircon, if you've got a good offer for an aircon, Facebook's really good. You'll get a lower quality lead, but it depends on how good your offer is. But as long as you can, with Facebook, as long as you can cipher through the amount of leads, because you'll get a lot of them with a good offer, we just use, you use it, ManyChat. We'll build out a whole sequence, ask all the questions that, say for an aircon, we'll ask all the questions that the customer needs to actually determine to give them a price, and we automate the whole process. So then they just have to go on and go, oh, yep, see everything, give them a price, and limit that manual labor. But Facebook, we definitely like Facebook in regards to testing offers, that's for sure.
It is. It's good. You can launch fast. You can get cheap stuff coming through. And yeah, if you get 100 leads for, you know, $10 a lead and you spend $1,000, but then you make a sale from one of these people, odds are you're going to make your money back and more off of a very kind of conservative closing ratio, which is good. And that's the way I always explain to my clients is in terms of marketing, because we do Facebook ads and we invest quite heavily in them, and people freak out. But then you say, like, dude, can you close 1 out of 100 leads? And they're all like, of course I can, bro. You know? Oh, yeah. Just once they're on the phone, it's game over. Good night. Tuck them into bed. Money in the bank. And it's like, well, if you close 1 out of 100, you know, and you pay, you know, $20 a lead and you get 100 of them and you spend $2,000 on ads, but you close one person, then you make $4,000. That's good, right? They're like, yeah, that makes sense. Let's do it. You know, so it's just, this comes down to a bit of maths and a bit of confidence and knowing that you don't need to.
Education,
exactly. Yeah, you don't need to close every single person that comes through. We certainly don't in my business. We get some garbage leads coming through. Not garbage people, just like they give wrong phone numbers, they just want free shit. But without them coming through the top of the funnel, they never get to the bottom.
Yeah.
Which is cool, man.
Just a part of testing.
We're getting into quite a technical conversation here. Never talk about this stuff. We always talk, we always end up, oh, you've blurred out on me. You got a blur. Oh, there he is. He's back. No, it was like your camera kind of auto-focused and we lost your beautiful chiseled jaw.
Sorry, mate.
You look like an airline pilot. You're like an Air Force pilot from the 40s.
And they thank you. Should have been a pilot.
You handsome devil. That's awesome, man. I mean, it's a, I always enjoy kind of learning about, you know, the things I'm not that good at or the things I don't spend much time on, because it's easy to learn like Google Ads 5 years ago and then everything changes so quickly.
Oh.
And then you find out like something that you did yesterday just doesn't look the same anymore. Always adapting, always learning.
Everything's changing again. Like, you know, there's so many AI tools to, you know, that we're starting to incorporate into our SEO strategy. And yeah, it's constantly changing.
What's up, guys? Alex here. If you're enjoying the episode, please don't forget to give us a subscribe on whatever channel or platform you're watching or listening to this. Really helps us to make an amazing show every week. Thank you so much. Back to the episode. Yeah, I was at a coffee shop this morning just waiting for a sausage and double egg muffin. And I saw a girl sitting there and she was on ChatGPT and she was on Fiverr. And I saw her pasting content from ChatGPT onto Fiverr, meaning that she was a freelancer getting paid to do work for someone, and she was a copy and paste it straight out of ChatGPT. And wow. I thought, like, that's going to catch up on us.
Well, it's already happening. So for, you know, everyone might get, I know a lot of tradies get them, is the emails from, you know, we'll rank you on page 1, 8746 at hotmail.com. That's exactly what they're doing. But Google's smart. Their algorithm can already decipher what AI written content is, and they will derank you for it.
Totally.
Yeah. You got to be very careful. AI is good. You can use it, but don't copy it.
Yeah. We use it to kind of formulate structures of things. Like, so you might have a winning landing page that you've done for someone. And then you say, okay, let's copy and paste this into ChatGPT and say this was for a sales coach. Let's just redo this for a construction business. Can we get the same sort of headline, subheadline, offer kind of inclusions? And then ChatGPT does all this cheesy stuff. It's like, but wait, here's the best part. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Introducing our newest system, it's like it just smells gross, but it gets you started and really can just form a nice little framework. But you can definitely sniff out people who've just copied and pasted straight out of and it gives you good
ideas too. Yeah, you know, if you ever have writer's block, you type it in and it just gets those creative juices flowing.
Yeah, do you enjoy to write? Because you've come from, you know, being a not to say that tradies aren't creative people, but you've come from being working with your hands, and now you're doing graphics and copy and all sorts. Yeah,
I do enjoy the writing. The graphics as such, I'm not very good at. I've got a team do that, but I enjoy the writing. I enjoy the copy. Throwing my personality and my spin on things. I enjoy it. It's like
Zen
time for me, I think.
Zen time. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I did a book chapter recently for like a collaborative book.
Oh.
And that was really cool, just to kind of, they were like, we need 2,500 words about whatever you like. So I kind of gave them a topic. And then I sat down and I did it like a story. And yeah, it was really fun. I write like 25 minutes on with like instrumental music going.
Yep.
And I don't stop. I don't try and edit anything. No spelling errors or anything. I just write. Take 5 minutes off, start again if I need to. And that's the best way of getting through writer's block for me, is just to kind of freaking just write and not allow yourself to stop.
Yeah.
Because before you know it, you've done 1,000 words and it's some of it's just garbage, but you get back to it.
That's exactly right. Old Scotty Waddell said, throw binaural beats on and just zone in. And that works. If you've ever looked it up on YouTube, that's just ultimate focus music.
Yeah, I used to do binaural beats and like lo-fi or those chill step dub hop on YouTube. Now I do like deathcore.
Right.
Really, really heavy like death metal, because you can't hear the lyrics of what people say. And I think that but that's just me. I enjoy that music for some bizarre reason. It kind of relaxes me a little bit. But are you not into deathcore too much there? Curious.
Oh, no, I like it. Yeah, me and my wife we used to go to all the sound waves. I went to Knotfest this year. I went to a few other ones. Yeah.
I had to go to Knotfest and I got COVID, so I couldn't go.
Yeah, no, it was great. Slipknot were good. Yeah, no, I love that. Love that music. Not right on, but I love that music.
Well, give it a go. Give it a go, mate. The faster the better. Slipknot is the only band I've ever seen live where I've been like physically scared for my safety. Because
very true.
There were such angry people in the audience. Like, you see, so for everyone listening, Slipknot's a very heavy band, but also headlining, but just before them at this festival was Parkway Drive for a bunch of Aussie guys from Byron Bay.
Love them.
Heavier music, much friendlier vibe,
yeah,
which is interesting. And, You get into those little mosh pits and someone falls down, everyone helps them up immediately, everyone's hugging. I saw like fist fights at Slipknot. It was really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, different crowds.
Don't know why. So how are you switching off these days, mate? Like, you're a busy guy. You said you get up at 4:30 AM and you are obviously on the go with your gym and family until the workday starts, and then you do your workday. What are your boundaries? What are you doing as a busy dad, busy entrepreneur to keep yourself the calm and happy man that you are?
First of all, it'd be gym. It's starting to, mentally notice change and a lot calmer and whatnot. So I'm definitely going to continue that route. Six weeks in. So I do enjoy that, but, kind of just hanging out with the family, going away in the van. We're going away in July and September. So yeah, holidays, family, and gym.
Dude, what more can you hope for? Just making time for it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you don't make time for it, that's, there's really no excuse, really. People say they don't have time for things. Well, you just don't make time.
It'd be very easy to not have time for things. And I completely understand that. I find myself, I go on all my walks at like 9 p.m. to make sure I hit step counts every day and get outside for a couple hours. Like, we'll do, put the girls to bed at like 7:30 and then have dinner. And then all I want to do is just sit down, but I go for a walk and I'm infinitely, infinitely happier for that. Whereas my wife winds down with the couch, but she's on her feet all day.
Because she's
and I'm not. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a nice little change. I came from hospitality, working as a chef on my feet all day, yeah. Kitchens, early mornings. That's a, it's a little hidden benefit of the old digital lifestyle sometimes, eh?
On the feet and in the roof space.
Mm. In the roof space. Goodness me.
Yeah.
The roof space is an interesting one. And those, I say this as a guy who's come from hard work and now I'm completely on the digital tools, right? I've found myself starting to crave more physical work outside of my work day, like gardening and like chopping wood and like building things and like outdoor exercise, yeah. More so than I did when I worked on my feet. I think it's
I think you need both too. Yeah,
you need a bit of both. It's, I think it's ingrained in us. And I think that, I mean, when did you start your, do you do an electrician apprenticeship when you were like what, 18 sort of thing?
15 I started.
15.
Oh, yep, qualified by 19 and started the business at just after 20.
Yeah, wow. So you're running your own business at 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And what was that version of the business like? That just you?
That was just me. Yeah, just me doing, just doing service work. Just, yeah, not doing any marketing, just the good old referrals and good work.
Yeah. The best marketing there is, right?
Yeah, look, it grew a lot over the years, and it only really started to see where the benefits of marketing and the mistakes that I made is when you have a team of over 10 people, and once again, if you're reliant, you're just relying on those referrals, when you've got those sort of overheads, you can't have anything, their business change, or they use somewhere else, or use someone else, or they shut their business and it affects yours. So that was, yeah, started from there, got to there, went down to there, and then back up again.
Yeah, got to do it though, right?
100%. Yeah.
You wouldn't know how to safeguard yourself from it happening again.
That's exactly right. And I see it happen time and time again with a big portion of the tradies. Just kind of educate them on the safe measures they should put in place.
And a healthy lead flow is one of them.
Massive. And good systems. And so you're not spending every hour, you should work all day, come home at night time and work all night. You need good systems.
Yeah. Yeah. Systems is the S word. That's one we talk about an awful lot on this show, because I'm realizing the power of it. It's something I avoided like the plague, just like, oh, more softwares. You got to get Trello, and then you got to have a CRM and all these different fucking, $49 a month softwares that you got to pay for. But, when I had my team they forced me to get this stuff to make their life easier. And it's so good. I'm so glad that we've now, compartmentalized different parts of our business.
You can't grow a business without it. It's creating solid foundations, and you can't expect it to run 15, 20 staff out of a diary. It just won't work.
No. All right. So what are some traits and lessons that you've brought over from running your electrician business to now running your digital marketing business?
Traits. Traits would be good old fashioned customer service. The tradie customer service. That goes a long way with tradies, because they can determine on your, they know your past based on how you talk. Good old tradie customer service. Pretty much everything I learned, I've now done it straight away in digital. So back in the day, didn't have any systems, did that when I was too big, and it was an absolute headache. So I spent the money at the start to build the systems out, build those solid foundations, and then it grow a lot easier, less stressful, less work, less manual work.
Yeah, or less paperwork, right? Yeah, and
yeah,
customer service is an interesting one, because in the coaching space, what most people do when they hire is they're hiring kind of behind the scenes people, designers, SEO people, content creators, admin. But in your electrician business, obviously your staff would have been customer facing as well. Is customer service something that you would train, and like, how do you replicate your mannerisms into someone else who's completely different to you?
No, it didn't look, it come naturally to me. I wasn't really trained on how to do customer service. I had to train my staff to do it properly and, you know, and what not to say and
yeah,
just be polite. But yeah, it come naturally to me. But the training behind it for the staff is very important. And that's just, you know, constant talks. But once again, once you do it for a while, like staff now, they're perfect with the customers. You know, there's no need to training on how to deal with customers. That's for sure.
Yeah. I suppose that every lesson comes from something that someone's done that wasn't perfect.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, if someone's going to be good at customer service within the first couple of weeks.
So
yeah, that depends on how much training am I going to have to give this person based on their ability to talk to people.
Everyone's different, right? Like, you know, everyone's got,
yeah.
Not everyone needs to be, you know, a super enthusiastic customer facing person if they're just good at their job. And it's good to have all sorts within a business, because we were talking before about James and Scott, who taught us what we do. Those guys, the three guys who run that company, are such high energy, you know, just like hit them and go, just like get up and grind and results based people. Yeah. I can imagine it would be quite intimidating to have an office full of those people if you're not like that.
Balance is key.
Yeah. Your team now digitally, how many people are, you know, contracting for you?
I've just got two, myself and two others.
Yep. And how do you keep the sort of the culture going, I suppose, being that you're working remotely from each other?
Yeah, just daily calls. So we have a daily 10:30 call, and go through yesterday's, you know, work and how can we better ourselves, and then obviously today's work. And that's pretty much it. It's just communication. It comes down to communicate. How much are you going to communicate with your team and kind of set your expectations of what you want for your company.
Yeah. And one thing that I think it was Gary Vee said it, that old chestnut. It was something like, you cannot expect your team to care about your business as much as you do.
Yeah.
And was the struggle, is like, what can we do to incentivize people outside of just paying them more money? Because and so what we do is we do charity incentives in our team. And so every time, I remember we spoke about it once, maybe like I mentioned that we've got automated charity donations from our business.
Yep.
So and it's not something we do too publicly, but like when we get a lead, we plant a tree. When we get a booking, we buy a year of clean water for someone, and then we get a sale, we buy 200 meals. It's cool. It's really, really, you can automate the whole thing through this platform called Buy One, Give One.
Yep.
And it's called like a giving story, and you literally use like Zapier to connect to your, you know, your Facebook page or your Slack channel to like a donation website. And so every time a lead comes through, it's like, it's a tree, it's a fruit producing tree in Kenya, which is really cool. And so, that's one thing that I'm doing to try and just create a little more impact in the company, because my team's amazing. But ultimately,
does that kind of inspire the team to move in the same direction?
I hope so. Like I believe that my team, they really, really do care about customer service, because a lot of them are over in the Philippines, and they're just the most beautiful, hardworking people who are the best customer service I've experienced outside of like fine dining restaurants. These guys are just so helpful and loyal and hardworking, and I'll find them like, you know, they've responded to a client on a Sunday. I'm like, you don't need to do that. What are you doing? Yeah. But it's amazing that they do it. No, it's not a problem, man. So, you know, I try to be a better boss all the time, but, I've never had a team of 10 people in Australia who I've met with physically on a daily basis, that must be a whole different ball game.
It is. It is. But different culture too. It's very different if you're, you know, if you're digital and you're hired remotely, to Australians, where our culture is very different.
I went to a barbershop this morning. Probably can't tell, but thank you. I went to a barbershop this morning, and these boys, I follow them on Instagram, and they've just blown up recently. There's like, they've gone from one store to four really, really quickly. And they're young guys who own them, and they're always staffed by like really well-trained, like 25 to 30-year-old Australian guys, all immaculately dressed.
Yep.
And you follow them on Instagram, and they all do running club together, and they all do ice baths together, and they all go to the gym together, and they do constant like personal development as part of their business. Right. And, you know, there's, you go to some barbershops and they're really, really fun boys clubs, and everyone's talking about gambling and basketball and like swearing and stuff. These boys are like professional up and down, and it's what their bosses help them to do outside of work that I really, really am inspired by. So I'm always trying to think of stuff I can do remotely, but that's what led.
Really good. Sounds like a really good culture in that business, that's for sure.
It is. And culture is something we talk about a lot on this podcast, because everyone's working remotely. It's getting difficult, but I think there's an awareness around it, which is great.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is great. And your customers can smell when you're a happy team.
Definitely. And the work that you put out is better.
I think so. Yeah. The work I was doing Tuesday afternoon when I was half kids, half parenting, shocker. Yesterday, I did everything. It was so good. It was so good, man. So what are the plans for the rest of the year with the digital marketing business? You got some big ideas coming up?
Look, push on with the SEO. We're going to implement a systems arm to... What we've just done over the first half of the year for builders is working quite well. So we want to implement that and obviously drive traffic to that and put campaigns around that. Is just systems, because systems for tradies. Pretty much, and grow from there. Bit of an organic strategy. That's on my list to do. That's a must.
There's always something on the list to do, right?
That's one of the things that I need to really focus more on, and that's my second half of the year goal. Put myself out there.
You need time for that, right? You need time for the organic strategy. And that's something that this is why I do the podcast. You know, the podcast for me is my best content machine, because I bring in people like yourself. You know your shit about topics that maybe I don't know about. I can ask you questions and this becomes my content. I don't need to think about stuff. Yeah, and then my great teams. Do you know, have you ever chatted to Alan Howell from Triple Effect Video?
Only to get a price for a client for some video production.
Yeah.
Not in depth.
He's the man. He's a freaking man, and he's taken over the video space for every coach who's working with him now. And his team's taken over my podcast now. So basically, I'm just rocking up. And just doing this talk for like 45 minutes. After this, I'll film a 1-minute intro. And then within a couple of days, they've got it up on Spotify and Anchor, and edit the videos up, put on YouTube, do the chapters. Mate, they are rock stars. Yeah.
To reach out to him. That's saving you a lot of time.
That's it, man. And all my content's on point, because I don't have anything to do with it. All I do is talk, you know? So it's... all this leveraging experts, and so I cannot recommend Triple Effect Video enough, and they'll be editing this and watching it. So, mate, Kieran McKerney, KMAC Digital, you're an absolute pleasure to talk to. You make me feel very calm, and that's impressive from a guy who, you know, has so many things on his plate. So congrats on the enormity of your success, mate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Business and life. No, you're a champion, brother, and you know, Gold Coast, I'm aiming to make my way up to the Gold Coast before the end of this year. And when I do,
weather.
Yeah, I know. Now's not the time. Is it? I mean, chilly. It must be chilly even on the coast.
No, well, the mornings are chilly, but no, it's it's getting up to 20 degrees, 22 degrees. You don't need to wear a jumper during the day.
That's why you're all smiling up in Queensland all the time.
So
all the time.
Beach walks, coffee.
We love
it. What does he say? Coffee and outcomes. Good old Scotty.
Coffee and outcomes. Yeah, coffee and acid reflux here in Sydney. That's all. We're all too highly strung. Everyone is just, you know, Bluetooth headphones and train passes. It's a full-on city, man, which is why I'm glad to live in my own little pocket of paradise here on the Northern Beaches. Kieran, bro, you're amazing. Thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us about everything you shared today, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, and anybody listening on the live stream or indeed the recording, love you to bits for that. I'll be back next week with another incredible guest or two on the Coaches to the Moon podcast. Until then, thank you for listening. Much love and peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.